G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, hi everyone. What an honour it is to bring the message this morning. Thanks, musos. We'll let them just have a little rest for a minute. This month, we have a great theme. It's called Activate. So I hope you've got that screensaver set up on your phone that Pastor Jeff shared out through the week. What a great reminder to get active. It's a time for us to get spiritually fit. It's an interesting time I'm finding at the moment. Online, on social media, there's lots about fitness. You might have come across it too. And some of them are pretty funny. I love how even in tough times, people bring out humour and how it helps us. But one I thought looked interesting, but I'm glad I didn't give it a try. A guy was putting oil on the tiles on the kitchen floor, and then you hang on the bench and you've got an instant treadmill. So I'm glad I didn't try that. I'm sure I would have landed flat on my face. So I hope you're doing okay in these times with your fitness. But let's have fun today looking at our spiritual fitness. We're looking through this month at faith, hope, and love, that they are essentials for our spiritual fitness. And last week, Pastor Jeff gave a great message about faith. So if you missed that, it is on our podcast. And today we're going to look at activating hope and next week's love. So just before I read some scripture, I just want to pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today, that you are going to reawaken hope in us, that you are going to pour out that gift of hope. And we are expectant and we are ready, and we thank you the power in your word that's going to inspire us and spur us on. I just ask, Lord, that you would speak with me. Bless people. Amen. Okay, let's look. The scripture is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That scripture will actually frame my message today. I want us to look at some points and how we can actively prepare to share our hope. But just before I really look at that scripture, I wanted us to think about hope. Preparing for today really made me ponder deeply. I've had so many times where I've craved hope. I've struggled. And actually, if I'm really honest with you, I've even had a couple of tough weeks just recently. I know that I want to share hope, but I've struggled. I've found it difficult. I found my thoughts going to a place of feeling helpless, of feeling overwhelmed, of feeling heavy, instead of that joyful hope that I know is there, that I know is available. I found myself doubting my ability to show hope. It can feel like we know what we should be doing and how we should be doing it, but it seems a bit elusive, a bit out of reach. When I was preparing and praying for today, God gave me this picture. It was so vivid. It was a door, quite a large door, that was slightly ajar. You know, almost shut but not closed. And he actually spoke to me and said, that's your heart, Bev, sometimes. That you've kind of kept it like that so you can quickly close it. It's like this protective thing that I've done. And it really opened my eyes a bit to what I was doing And he also just wanted me to share with you about that because there's someone listening, watching today that's been doing that same thing. It's a word for you today that God wants you to open the door. Don't keep it ready to shut quickly. Open the door of your heart. He wants to pour into your world. He wants to fill it with love and hope. So I'm really excited about my message this morning because God's put some things really burning on my heart to share with you. I love the way he encourages us. He builds us up. He does it gently, but so powerfully. So be expectant this morning. Let him open your heart. Let him pour into your world. What is hope? What does it look like? Well, for me, hope's a feeling of expectation. It's a desire for a particular thing to happen. It's a sense of trust that it will happen. It's dreaming with my eyes open expectantly. Hope keeps me moving forward. Hope's part of everyone's life. Hope is for everyone. It's an inherent part of us as humans. It defines what we want in our future, and it's also part of that self-narrative that just runs around in your head, that's round and round in your mind. Hope's our response to the promises of God, and hope is a beautiful gift from God. The Holy Spirit will place amazing hope in our minds and hearts. We can find times where we're just succumbing to discouragement around us. It feels like there's bad news or just things happening. But hope grows in us if we actually actively pursue God and pursue his love. We need to get active to build hope. So I want to look this morning at two areas of hope. They're how to activate hope, and then how we can share hope. So that first one, the how. How do we activate hope? How do we do this, especially if we're feeling the situation and circumstances around us seem actually hopeless? So let's look at a story in the Old Testament. It's a great story where it shows what looks like a pretty hopeless situation actually turns around when action was taken to bring out hope. Three choices were made. And it's about a king, King Jehoshaphat. The story's in 2 Chronicles 20. And a little bit of background for this story. King Jehoshaphat was actually the king of Judah. It was way back 873 to 849 BC. So a long time ago. He was described as a good king. He followed and worshipped God. So let's look at that story, 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was the name for En-Gedi. Wow. The odds were huge. The situation did seem hopeless. Imagine receiving that news. Maybe you have had bad news at times and you felt hopeless and overwhelmed by it. I know I have, and more than once. But there's always a but, a maybe, a possibility. I love God, how he shows and opens up those possibilities. He can turn any situation around. So let's read on in the story and see what happens. In verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. He continues with a powerful prayer, speaking that out in front of everyone. He'd gathered the men, women, and children. Everyone was there. And as he was praying, he reminded the people of God's power and provision in the past for them. But he was still totally honest and vulnerable about the fears. I won't read the whole chapter this morning for time. I want to focus on some key thoughts, but I'd encourage you to have a look at that whole chapter. One of the things is I love his confidence. He knew all things were possible with God. And in verse 9, it tells us this is what he prayed. Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honoured. We can cry out to you to save us and you will hear us and rescue us. Confident of God's love and specific care for them. We can have that same confidence when we pray too. And he continues on in the prayer being totally honest. And in verse 12, O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Jehoshaphat started three processes of action. He stirred up hope not only in himself, but in everyone else that was there. So the first thing he did was he went to God. He didn't just sit back and wait and hope it would be okay. He took action. And even though he was terrified, it told us that in verse 3, hope's not only what we think and long for, but it actually has an element of action. We need to do something to keep hope alive and growing. He didn't freak out and let thoughts and feelings of defeat take over. The battle probably looked hopeless if he just focused on there was three armies against his one army. The odds didn't look good, but he chose to take his fears to God, to be open and honest to God. And to focus not on the fear, but on the possibility of what God could do. And the second thing he did was he got others praying with him. He didn't try and do it alone. He thanked God for all that God had done. And then he remembered those great things to stir up, to build up, to encourage. He prayed together. And the third thing he did was he praised. So in verse 18, we read some of this great praise. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. He also praised before the battle. So when they had to go out and they went to face the battle, he chose to send praise ahead. He organized people to activate and start praising. So in verse 21, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Now, when I read that, I just had this awesome image. Imagine that going out ahead of this huge army, praising and singing and lifting their voice to God. We can do those three actions and stir ourselves up. We can remember God's greatness, what he's done for us. We can activate that same level of hope that King Jehoshaphat did. Go to God first. Go with anything. Everything, be totally honest with him. He loves it. He's about relationship. So God loves it when we come to him honestly like that and pray. Pray for others, pray with others, and ask others to pray for you too. and praise. Just start being thankful. Start with the small things and let the praise just flow and really come out of us. I want to share now some practical actions, because I've found over the years I've had to do things actually to activate that hope. The first thing that I find is really great is just talking to God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to Jesus. And I'm not just meaning prayer. I love prayer. I love just dedicating a real time when I focus on prayer. But I mean chat to God during the day. Talk to Him about what's going on. Simple thoughts. It really helps me rein in. I don't know if you have times where you find there's some toxic thoughts or those negative thoughts that almost feel like they're taking hold. Well, chat to God. It's just those little thoughts that we just open up to Him during our normal everyday activities. Things like thank Him for nature. That's one I find really helps rein me back in, because I love the beauty in nature. I love the intricacy in nature. And I thank Him, I get to see some beautiful mountains and hills because I drive out to Willerowing to teach each week. And the other thing could be thank Him maybe like for the chocolate you're going to have for morning tea. I know Lydia can really identify with that kind of thankfulness. So I guess she can relate to that. We love our chocolate. Another thing I do is I turn on praise music. I turn it on in the house, in the car. In the mornings, I find it a bit hard if I'm up before the others, because you have to have it really soft. And so I like it when they're all awake and you can really turn it right up. James has these big speakers. So I think big speakers means big volume. So we love to really crank out the praise music. I get home from work, I turn on the praise music. It just shifts something in my attitude, in my spirit. Another thing I really try and do is journaling. I'm not so great at journaling. I know lots of others that are really good at it, but I keep trying. And I've seen when I have had times of journaling every day, how it really has helped heaps. And it's a great encouragement when you can look back on it. So just things like pick some verses or even a verse, write it down. Something that might jump out at you from that verse, or, you know, those aha moments. And it'll just come back to you and you'll remember it. It's a great thing to try. Another thing is use technology. I listen to a Bible app. So as I said, I have to drive quite a distance to work 4 days a week. So I make the most of that. I turn scripture on. It's actually really good just to let the Bible keep playing through the speakers in your car, because I might find my mind drifts a little, but there's things that really gems that just sink in and you suddenly go, oh, I like that. And so it just does something. It puts it in your heart ready for the day. And devotions, podcasts, whatever, listen to through the car. Most cars have that ability now where you can leave your Bluetooth on your phone. And even if I'm just around town, those 5-minute snippets, they've actually blown my mind how powerful they can be. That can actually have a big impact, the little bit that you just hear in amongst. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's powerful. So let's think on His Word. Let's get it into our worlds, our minds. Let us allow it to renew us. Pastor Jeff shared in a preaching message many years ago now about how he personally challenges himself each morning to not read anything else until he's read some scripture. And that day when I heard that, it really resonated with me and I thought, I need to try that. And so I have done that. I started that personal challenge quite a few years ago and it's helped me. It shifted things in my world. Might only be a couple of verses that I get to read, but it changes things. Sometimes in a preach message, the things that will stay in our minds might seem simple, but they have a big impact. So I'm sorry, Pastor Jeff, I don't remember what you preached about, but what I do remember was you sharing about how that's helped you. So maybe you struggle to concentrate, maybe right now, but don't ever underestimate those little things in a preach message, the impact it can have on you. God's got something for you today. God wants to encourage you and build you up. So be expectant to receive it. Those things I just shared are just some practical actions I take. You've probably got other things you do. I'd like to hear them. So share with each other. Tell people what you do, because it actually inspires us and it really spurs us on. You might be surprised what you see as a small thing you do actually impacts someone else. It'll turn on hope and also help them to hold on to hope. I want to share now a bit of a story about when I received that beautiful gift of hope in a really tough time. So I want to just explain a little of our story. It actually is 22 years ago, and around this time I was getting quite pregnant. Matthew, our fourth child's born on the 4th of September, and I was struggling. I really had just found life pretty tough, and I turned my back on God. I remember actually going, I've had it, I can't do this anymore, and I actually closed the door on God. Well, fast forward a little bit, a few months, to when he was born. 10 days overdue. I was hopeful for this baby to finally arrive. But what else I hoped for was a rest. I was tired. I had three other little kids. And I was looking forward to that, you know, 4 or 5 days in hospital, because they let you do that back then. I was hoping for that rest. But it didn't work out like that. He was born and the birth went okay, but there was something not right. And he was born on Friday night. So Saturday, I didn't actually get to see a doctor that day and the nurses were pretty concerned. And Sunday morning, it was pretty early, the doctor walked in and he only took one look at Matt and he said, there's something gravely wrong. So we had an ultrasound, which showed he had this huge blockage in his bowel. It wasn't at all functional. And he was this listless, sick baby. It was terrifying to hear that news. And then it was this whirlwind. They whisk Matt away. They put him in a humidity crib, you know, the tubes, and they're ringing through to Sydney to organise a flight to take us there. And this is all pre-mobile phone. So I had no chance to let James know. It's Father's Day. He'd managed to actually get our other three children cared for by grandparents and his sister. So we could have this nice time together with the new baby. And he walked in and it was just, I fell apart. I was just so devastated and freaked out. And we ended up on that flight to Sydney. And it was during the flight, actually, that I became aware of this, it'll be okay. Like, it was like a peace and a hope descended on me. And we arrived there and we were actually assigned the best surgeon in Australia for that condition. And there was all this new groundbreaking surgery that they did on Matt. And even actually that doctor in Bathurst, because we weren't private insured, so it was just whoever we were assigned, he had had experience with Hirschsprung's bowel disorder. It's a really rare thing. So it'd be very unusual for a doctor to know much about it. God looked after everything. And I think what impacted me the most was he did all that even when I had my back turned to him. Even when I had tried to shut the door on my faith, his love doesn't stop. His care doesn't stop. He keeps pouring hope into us. And then that whole week until we did get the diagnosis and that, I kept being really aware of hope coming in. God takes care of the detail. He pours out hope in our world. And I was able to, in my hope rising up in me, share hope with others. It was a neonatal intensive care unit, so there were some pretty grim things happening. And a lady I got to know, she lost her preemie twin. And others had months and years ahead of them with medical things. But God used my hope, which I thought was pretty little, to really bless others. God can meet us and do what we see as impossible. I know without a doubt that was God's gift of hope to us at that time. I've learned there's struggles in life, times that seem hard, but they can bring us the greatest spiritual growth. It gives us spiritual muscles and it brings this faith, hope, and love It takes us to deep places with God, and it helps us to help others. Our story helps others find that faith, hope, and love. Hope brings more hope. Now, just before I move on to the second point, I'd better tell the end of the story. I'd better not leave it hanging there. So Jehoshaphat, in verses 22 to 24, it shows how the battle he didn't have to face. They're on their way there, and when the praise that they were letting out happened, God took care of everything. Those other three armies turned on each other and wiped each other out. So Jehoshaphat turned up with his army and it was already all over. God handled the battle for him. Let's now just look at that second point I mentioned about how do we share the hope? How do we encourage others? It has such a powerful effect when we do this. So I want to look at that verse again, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Peter wrote that to people that were actually Christians. They were believers. They'd given their hearts to Jesus. He was encouraging them that the change that had happened in their life, it could bring hope to others. He was encouraging them how to share this. People see a difference in us. They see faith. They see hope. They see love. We can show them Jesus. Verse 15 talked about being ready to answer. But I see that as it needs action. It's not passive. I don't wait for someone to ask me. I look for ways to share hope. I ask God to put people in my world that I can share hope with them. It's just made such a difference in mine to have that hope to hold on to have that awareness of when hope rises up. Just recently at work, I've had lots of questions asked of me. Lydia, a couple of weeks ago, had a car accident. It totaled her car. It was pretty bad, and it's a miracle she walked out all fine. That's impacted people. They've asked, how could you be so sure of God's protection? And it spurred some great conversations. People see the way we respond to tough situations. There's seasons of life that none of us ever hoped for, seasons where it's a struggle. But those times can be the most fruitful. I'd much rather not have went through what we did with Matt, with the storm, the, you know, drama and all the stress of it. And we did have years of things and major surgery and that. But most of you, I think, or quite a lot, have met our son, 6'4", thriving. He just, our doctor loves to see him and see just the young man he's become and what he's gone through. I know disappointments can be a door to deeper hope. I know. I'm so thankful for all that I've gone through because it's made me who I am and it's brought me to this place of loving God totally, wholeheartedly. I'm in awe. And I want to hang on to that awe, in awe of God, in awe of what he can do, in awe of what he has done, and an awe to wonder what he's yet to do. He never gives up. He doesn't hold anything against us. He never stops loving us. How awesome is it? Maybe when you're this morning, you've had that sense. God's drawing you back to him. I love that I get to be part of someone's journey, that I get to discover how precious it is for others to experience his love. It stirs up hope in us. It stirs up hope in others. Sometimes those hard situations that we never hoped for, we never wanted, we struggle to understand, we can look back and be thankful. We sometimes don't know the how we'll get through, but we do know the who. It's not the how that grows the hope. It's the who gets us through, who loves us no matter what, who supplies all we need, who can do the impossible, and the who is Jesus. We find hope in a love bigger than ours. We can experience that steady peace and deep joy in times when we least expect it. I've learned that real life isn't what I see. Real life is in Jesus. We can bring hope to this hurting world. So who is it in your world you can bring hope to right now, tomorrow, today even, this week? Who is it? God chooses to use us in his plans. We're an important part of it all. We're an important part of someone's journey, all those little discoveries and revelations and understandings. Be expectant. God will use you. Romans 8:28. I just want to finish with three beautiful promises in Scripture. So if the musos would like to come back up. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You are called. You have purpose. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 to 8. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's you. God loves you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.